Okay, so you can now gently open your eyes. And I just want to talk just for a couple of minutes about that equanimity aspect. What I meant by that equanimity element, and so let's look at, love philosophically. Like I was saying in the beginning, whenever we deal with any subject matter, we look at it philosophically, psychologically, pragmatically, phenomenologically, right? So philosophically, I like to define love as a way of living. Love as a way of abiding in this world. As simple as that. Ma'am, would you like to sit here so you can look at, see the slide? So, I like to define love philosophically as a way of abiding in this world, a way of living in this world. Now, psychologically, I have already defined it as a combination of those four elements. That's the psychological definition of love: loving kindness, compassion, gladness, equanimity. Now, we're going to look at it philosophically a little bit. So, the way of living. And I realize that as the I-ness, the self-centeredness in our way of living reduces, the love increases. As we become less and less self-centered, less and less, self or constantly driven by that I, and people use the word ego for it, right? Less and less ego, more and more love. And when the I is completely eradicated, we are then perfectly abiding in love. So basically, in other words, the egoless state of mind is really what the perfection in love is all about. To eradicate that ego, the sense of self, so that we become more and more loving. And how do we eradicate that I, right? How do we eradicate that ego? These are the tools. These four elements of meditation and the four elements of love. Constantly applying them to our daily way of living so we can constantly go from I to O, from I-ness to oneness, O for oneness, I for I-ness, right? It's very interesting that how L-I-V-E and L-O-V-E are kind of so etymologically so close to each other. You just have to replace that I and put O in there, which is oneness, right? And when I was trying to think about love in terms of its spectrum, I came to realize that there is worldly love, then there is religious love, devotional love, beautiful love, transcendental love, noble love, which ultimately leads to perfect love. Now, worldly love means love of relationships between husband, wife, brother, sister, neighbors, friends, right? That's worldly love. But if we simply stay there and don't evolve, then there is always that I and you there. I love you, right? There is this I and this I and there is you, and there is that separation. There is not much oneness there. So we have to keep growing in our love, become love the religion, get involved in religion. But if you stop there, then again there is I love my God, right? That's why there are so many religions. And then there is I, and then there is my God, and then there is that separation. So we have to transcend that too. So from religious love, we have to become devotional. From religiousness, we have to develop devotion. And what is devotion? In devotion means basically we love the divinity, we love divine. We don't love a particular entity, which is my entity, right? So we become devotional. So from worldly to religiousness to devotional, to becoming devotional, and then once you transcend devotion, then you abide in beautiful love, which is what many of the mystics and philosophers and great poets experience, right? They feel that they are in totally in love with themselves and the whole world. They literally feel that. Many of the philanthropists, right? These are the people who abide in beautiful love. And obviously there are examples of religious love we know. You know, there are people who are kind of fanatics, and then they get so attached to their religion that they actually start coming down. You see that arrow? This is a danger here, because if we get attached to religion, then we cannot evolve in love. We have to go from religiousness to devotion. That's the key. So, example would be, if you are a Christian, then instead of loving the Christian God, you become devotional to Jesus. I'm just giving an example. What does it mean, becoming devotional? Becoming enthusiastic and interested in the devotional quality of the deity. Not Jesus as a person, but as a bundle of qualities. Not Krishna as a person, but bundle of divine qualities. What are those divine qualities? Mercy, kindness, mercifulness, forgiveness, right? Those. So that is devotion. And then that leads to beautiful love, and then that leads to transcendental love. So how can a philosopher or a philanthropist or a social worker can experience transcendental love? That's when you really need meditative tools. That is kind of the threshold to go beyond, to keep transcending. And so in transcendental love, you will see beings like Mother Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi, and people like great saints, enlightened, great beings, right? Great saints that we all know about, right? They abide in transcendental love. And then from transcendental love comes the noble love. And this is extremely esoteric, very, very subtle, and we can talk about it for a long time. But please realize that this is not the end of love. We can continue to evolve. And then ultimately, there is perfect love. And if you notice, everywhere there is I there, right? There is I here, I here, I here, I here, I here. However, the degree of I-ness, the degree of ego is reducing as you are going higher and higher. And eventually there is no I. Eventually you realize that love is a phenomenon of body-mind consciousness. It's a wholesome mental phenomenon of body-mind consciousness. And it's very, very subtle, very esoteric. Ultimately, what is perfect love? There is not even an expression for it. So even you transcend nobility, transcend noble love, and then perfectly abide in love. And that's what really the equivalent of equanimity. And that is why we have equanimity as one of the elements of love. All right, great.